Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one, who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay, and this evening we will be dealing with the Summit of the Moors 2. And my brother Diallo Sakur has already told me that he's going to be here with us this evening, and we're going to deal with this thing. And we're going to deal with the following questions: what should the people expect at the Summit 2? Also, what is the formula for survival in America today? How do we grow our own food? What herbs should we plant and grow? These are just a few of the questions that we're going to be dealing with this evening. But there's some announcement that I'm going to make before we actually get started here. First of all, we want to deal with the fact that Moore's government has a new conference call number. And the number is 559-726-1200. The access code is 107985. That's 559-726-1200. Access code 107985, access code. Now, what we're asking you to do is to dial in the National Conference call time period. Is I see here on the memo that he gave me, it should be the same time period, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You dial into the National Conference call. And you are at that time at the numbers we gave you. We're going to put this information into the chat room so that you could have it. But now, the Summit of the Moors was designed for people of African descent across the nation to come together regardless of what organization or group or club or whatever it is that you were a part of, to come together to attempt to show how we should benefit as a single economic unit. And each speaker that came up will give you their perspective of what's going on, how to deal with what you should be taking home and using inside your community. We had many speakers that came on. I was there, and I will also be here on the 16th through the 18th right here in Jacksonville, Florida. The Moors Summit 2 will be held in the Wyndham Hotel right here inside Jacksonville, Florida. So make sure that you are here to examine that. But what we have been doing here is I have been consistently promoting the educational information on Talker's Archives and the websites and on the Blog Talk Radio broadcast and the articles and stuff, because that's my job as an educator to do that. And but at the same time, I'm constantly reminding people to be here for Moore Summit 2, so that you can actually see what everybody of African descent across the country should be doing where you are. We're going to have to become self-sustaining so that we can survive. And if we don't do that, we will fail. I mean, we're gonna lose it. If you know, the basic sustenance of life is food, air, and water. Everything else outside of that is secondary. Food, air, and water. This is what it takes to sustain a living, breathing being on the planet. And if we understand that, then we can start looking at that and making that, put that at the heading and make sure that everything else we got and everything else that we are doing does not supersede that, because that comes first no matter what. We got to have that. So we have cultivated our gardenings and stuff, and I just recently been there and take a look, and I'm quite a busy man, but I want to do more, and I try to free myself up to do more. But in the meantime, we're looking for everybody on the continent or in the Americas to basically consider doing the same thing. It doesn't matter where you are. Even if you're in an apartment, get you some pots. Put you something in there that you created that you can consume for yourself and provide your own sustenance for yourself. It's totally inexpensive. Your seeds are at a fraction of a cost to plant, and you can learn how to do what you have to do and grow the food for yourself. And then you can go on up a little bit further and a little bit further and build more and more and more. But now, let's take a look at some things. And before we actually get down into it, let me tell you right now, as usual, I'm offering free articles this evening. The 14th Amendment exposes the world of the commerce game and how to play, and Secrets of America and the way you access that. And send me an email to taharka53@hotmail.com. That's taharka53@hotmail.com. You also want to visit www.summitofthemoors.com. That's www.summitofthemoors.com. And there are three very important videos right there on the front page that you should take a look at as far as what happened here in Jacksonville as far as the first summit was concerned. Also, our archives has been integrated. What we were going to do now is tell you about our new website, and that's www.newfreehelpgroup.com. Go over there and examine that, and of course you can click on the link to archives.org, and it will take you to the new things that we have available for you, because there are a lot of people who have student loan debt, who are upside down in their homes, who are connected to all these different contracts with people, and the solution to these problems are available for you. And but at the same time, we're going to walk you through this step by step. And these are point blank solutions. It's not a thing where you got to go and do a whole lot of study and research. You just point blank deal with this, because we're trying to get this thing done. Okay. Now, my guest has not arrived. He told me that he would be here, and he's not here just yet, but he have faith in him. He will be coming in, and so we're going to go ahead on and proceed what we're going to do. But what I want to do is I want to run a quick plug about some things that we previously discussed on Moore's Talk Live 100 involving your debt and stuff of this nature, because it's very important for you to know what's going on and what you have available to you. So if you sit still for a minute, I'll go ahead and run this plug until our guests arrive, okay?
Welcome to the Real News Network. I'm Paul Jay in Baltimore. As the effects of the sequester agreement ripple through the American economy, massive cuts, that is, to social programs and the military to some extent, one thing is clear. Both sides, President Obama and the leadership of the Republican Party, seem to think that public debt is the biggest challenge facing the American economy. Well, our next guest begs to differ. Now joining us in the studio is Michael Hudson. He was a Wall Street financial analyst, is now a distinguished research professor of economics at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. His recent books are The Bubble and Beyond and Finance, Capitalism, and Its Discontents. Thanks for joining us again.
Thank you very much.
So I'm reading your material, and clearly you don't agree that public debt's the issue. Why, and if not, what is?
Well, the one kind of debt that really isn't an issue is public debt, because there's a great difference between public and private debt. Governments can own the printing presses. No government can become insolvent as long as its debt is owed in its own currency. And not only has the U.S. public debt gone down as a proportion of GDP and national income, it actually is financed very largely by the Federal Reserve simply printing money. The pretense in Washington is that when government debt goes up, it's because you're borrowing from people and somehow crowding out other markets. And if you don't borrow from the banks, if you print your own money, that somehow that's going to create hyperinflation.
Yeah, I mean, the contention, the argument would be you can't keep doing this without any limits to it, because at some point people don't want your currency anymore.
The United States has been doing it without limit and has no limit for the last since the currency crisis, the financial crisis of 2008. Now, there's something very interesting. All of the people in Washington, and I just came from a conference down there, they're all talking about the debt that's owed to the Social Security people recipients, to the Medicaid recipients. They're talking about the debt owed to labor and to most of the population. And yet, for every half a trillion dollar deficit that the government has spent into the economy, it's created twice as much, $1 trillion in the form of giveaway to the banks. Not a single Republican, not a single Democrat has talked about what has actually increased the government debt by $13 trillion since 2008, and that is the bailouts of the banks. Taking Freddie Mae and Freddie Mac onto the public balance sheet for $5.3 trillion to bail out the banks from their reckless mortgage loans, more than $2 trillion in quantitative easing, when the Federal Reserve has just created credit to give to the banks to buy their junk mortgages and the cash for trash. So somehow there is an idea that creating a credit to give to the banking system for President Obama to say, we want the banks to get lending again and we want Americans to keep borrowing, they want to reinflate the private debt market, the real estate market, back to its previous unaffordably high level.
So the point you're making is they're saying it's okay to, quote unquote, print money as long as it's going to the bank.
Yes.
But you can't print money. The reason I'm going quote unquote is because you don't really have to print it.
Right.
It's just like
it's all on the computer keyboard now.
Keyboard.
They don't even have.
But they won't create that same kind of money in order to get the real economy going.
Right. Now, it's just amazing that the people who are talking about let's get the government debt under control are only then following it by saying, so cut back Social Security and squeeze labor and cut back social spending. Not a single person is saying cut back the giveaways to the bank, stop trying to reinflate the market. To the Obama administration and to the Republicans, they're saying more private debt is the solution. Well, in reality, the problem is private debt, not the government debt. And that's because, unlike government debt, private debts have to be repaid. And there are only two ways of resolving a private debt problem for an economy as a whole. Either you do the American way, which is foreclosure, and essentially foreclose on the real estate, or you write down the debts to the ability that can be paid. Now, in the past, when you had a financial crisis, the banks would have to liquefy the loans, they'd take the loss on the loans, the debts would be written down to whatever the market could afford. That was the old market solution to the debt problem. But now the government is saying we cannot have a market solution to the debt problem because our constituency, our largest campaign contributors, the banks, would lose. So we have to keep the debts in place, and in fact, we have to have even more debt to reinflate the real estate market so that the banks won't lose any money on the fact that they've lent much too much money that cannot be repaid. So you have something very interesting. The largest form of debt in America is real estate debt by homeowners. When I first went to work on Wall Street in 1961, everybody had to, there was a rule of thumb on Wall Street. If you were taking out a home mortgage, they would limit it, the mortgage payment couldn't exceed 25% of your income. That was a rule of the thumb. The banker would ask, how much money do you make? And they'd say, okay, you can afford to pay 25% of that in debt. Well, then the banks began to make larger and larger loans. So last year, Sheila Bair, the head of the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, said she recommended limiting the amount of mortgage debt service to 32% of the loans. Well, just a few months ago, the Federal Housing Agency of the government said, okay, the government will guarantee 9 out of every 10 mortgages in America are now guaranteed by the Federal Housing Administration to the banks for up to 43% of the income of the borrower to be paid to the banks as mortgage service. Now, just imagine what that does to a family. If you're paying 43% of your income to the banks for your mortgage, if you're paying, some people are paying 25% of their income for student loans, but forget student loans, let's say only 10% of your income above that goes for other bank loans, credit card loans. You have 15% of your salary taken out for Social Security, and then you have income tax. Then you're only going to be able to spend about 20% of your salary on the goods and services you produce.
And then they wonder why there's no demand in
the economy. That's exactly the point. It's all about demand and employment. And what the people who are talking about the debt situation in Washington are leaving out of account is the employment. How on earth are Americans going to buy what they produce if they have to pay all the money to the bankers, and the bankers are using this money not to buy goods and services themselves, they're using the money to make yet more loans to try to get yet more interest. And
I'm seeing in my mail now, I'm getting all these, do you want a new credit card? Ads, yep. Or envelopes are coming through again. TV
right.
Ads for credit cards are in full steam again. So I guess now that the banks have gotten a lot of free money from the Fed, they're going to maybe perhaps start another credit bubble to try to get things.
Well, that's the government. The government policy doesn't call it a credit bubble this time. They call reflating real estate, and they call it fiscal responsibility of balancing the budget. But fiscal responsibility for the government debt is irresponsible for the economy, because if the government doesn't run a debt, if the government doesn't run a surplus, then it's not going to be pushing money into the economy. And if the government doesn't use this opportunity that we're having now to run a deficit and to not to tax the Social Security recipients, as just occurred in January, not to add to the tax withholding, if it does what the Republicans want and runs a surplus or balances the budget, then all of the growth in the economy will be left to commercial banks to finance. The growth of private debt will grow to even more than the current 75 to 80% of family income.
That's even assuming the private banks are willing to loan, because part of the problem is they don't want to loan because they don't trust the economy.
But as long as the government treats the entire loan system like student debt, the government is now saying to the banks, loan whatever you want to students. We don't care if they can't pay. We don't care if your loan is reckless. We, the so-called taxpayer, will pay. And it's not the taxpayer, of course. It's the Treasury that just creates the money to pay. So first of all, there's a pretense that the taxpayer has to pay when the government runs a deficit. The taxpayers don't pay for the deficit. The government simply prints the money. A private family can't do that. If you're in a deficit in your family balance sheet.
But hang on. A lot of the money they're raising is through treasury bills, which is a form of a loan.
Yes.
They're not just, and there is a rising public debt, and they are paying interest. It's very, very low right now, the interest the American government's paying on its debt. But that could go up. So it's not this isn't without risk of at some point paying serious interest.
Well, there are three sources that a government can borrow from. The only source they talk about is borrowing from the capital markets, from the banks and the bondholders. But the government can borrow from the Federal Reserve at no interest whatsoever and simply create the money. That's what it's done for the $13 trillion of bailout that it's given Wall Street.
But they seem to believe there needs to be limits to that, otherwise people lose confidence in the dollar. That's at least the logic they say.
And then they
are getting almost interest-free money now for T-bills, so they are borrowing it.
It's amazing. You're absolutely right. That's just what they're saying. And how can they say that people are losing faith in the dollar when the dollar is continued to go up and up and up against the euro, against the pound sterling, against other currencies that don't have the printing press? The reason people are putting their money into treasury bills, the reason the treasury bills, if you buy them, only yield 0.5% or 0.25% now, is because other countries have faith that America has the printing press and can print the money. So it's exactly the opposite of the Zimbabwe syndrome. People talk about Zimbabwe, but only Zimbabwe can print its own money, or America can print its own money.
There's clearly got to be some limit to how much you can do that. Otherwise, give everybody $1 billion and...
Yes.
You know, life would be fine.
Of course there's a limit.
There are limits to this.
Yes, of course there's a limit. The limit is so far not being reached because the rest of the world is imposing the very kind of austerity that the Republicans are trying to force on America. The rest of the world is saying we want to be fiscally responsible, even at the cost of shrinking our economies. So their economies are falling apart, and all the savers in their economies are sending their money into the United States. So the reality is the opposite of the rhetoric that's being used by the politicians.
The argument they would give you is that if you start printing too much money, then people will lose confidence, and they won't keep doing it.
Well,
they will stop buying American T-bills, and they won't be sending money here. It's the safe haven for global money. So.
There is indeed one entity that has been producing too much money, way too much money, irresponsibly, and that's the banking system that led to the credit crisis. It was the money that has been inflating prices has been the commercial banks, inflating real estate prices, inflating education prices, inflating prices for stocks and bonds that have just had a huge bubble. So the inflationary money creation is by the commercial banks, not by the government. And nobody's talking about that. Of course they've reached the limit, but it's the banks that are creating money. And somehow people have believed that inflation is very good if what's going up is the price of your home. But then when the price goes down, what's really gone up has been your debt. And what people thought was asset a boom and net worth and wealth creation, as Alan Greenspan said, it turns out to be debt creation. And all they're left with a massive debt, and it's the private debt that is the residue of the bubble economy that is now the big problem in overlaying the economy. And instead of trying to resolve that problem by writing down the debts to the ability to pay, by writing down housing debts to the real value of the house or the current mortgage, or writing it down to the one quarter of your income that used to be normal and is normal in other countries, by refusing to roll back the public debt and write it down, the government is pushing austerity here just exactly as the pound is doing in Europe, as the Eurozone is doing. So all you have to do is look at Greece and Spain and Ireland, and you say, is that going to be America's future under this kind of pretense that government debt's bad, bank debt is good, run into more debt, that will save us? It's as if they believe the Americans can borrow their way out of debt. That's the current policy.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. And thank you for joining us on The Real News Network.
All right, Mose, let's take a look at this from a whole different perspective. Now, what we just heard is a synopsis about a financial crisis and what's performing against the dollar, but never even mentioning to you that there is absolutely no gold backing it in the first place. So what we just heard is designed for people who actually believe that paper money is real money and that we should be involved in this thing about doing this and that and the other, and it's going up against that and the other. Okay, I can understand you using it to invest and make a profit and all of this stuff here, all that's great and fine, but the question still remains, is paper money, period, real money? And if it is not, then where is the real money? I think that's a fair question. I think it's fair. I think it's just a fair question to ask. I don't think nobody should get mad with me about asking that particular question. Because if you create paper and you got this paper and then you're going to use this paper to actually purchase something with, let's say that someone says to you, I don't want no paper, I want real money. I want something tangible. I want something that actually appreciates in value instead of something that have absolutely no value. I can't take it and put it inside the gas tank of my car, crank up my car, and it runs with it. If I get cold, I cannot take it and put it in my fireplace and set it on fire, and it provides enough heat for me to stay warm. Because if you do, you'll get a burst of fire, but after a while, it'll burn out. So you have what? The nothing. So what I'm trying to find out now, and what I'm trying to say to you at the same time, is I can't blame the creators of the dollar, okay? I can't blame you for trying to put something in place to try to help you do something with it. But that does not diminish the question of whether or not it is real. Hold on a second. Area code 404.
I don't know that.
Hello? 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 Okay, let's go to the next.
If you know somebody who wants to make some more money.
Okay, area code 347. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Islamo.
347. Islamo, let me have it.
Yeah, this is Brother Commit to You, Noble.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Commit to You? What's on your mind?
Noble. I was just listening to what you're saying, Brother Tahaka, and one thing that the masses of our people got to realize, Brother Tahaka, is they got to get, as I stated before on your Blog Talk Radio show, you got to get a financial dictionary and a banking dictionary and these financial jargons and these terms, because, Brother Tahaka, you know what, as I know, it's always an educational process with something that our people seem to don't realize that, you know, when you put out these topics and these issues, you know, you put out good points. And people who would get angry or annoyed with you really don't know what's going on in the system. Now, if you were to ask the plain, simple question, what is money? That's the question. Well, most people didn't know that money, the etymology for the word money, means to monetize. That's what the word money means. So now here's the headbanger. We the people originally were the shareholders of what money was, which is gold and silver, according to the Constitution. So what these Europeans did, Brother Tahaka, was they deliberately bankrupt the country on purpose. This was not because we was going bankrupt. They did this on purpose, Brother Tahaka, so that way they could put the people into a debt condition of acceptance. Because now we accept the credit cards, which are nothing but debt, and we accept any other forms of debt that they issue to us, not knowing that we cannot even discharge any of this debt with the so-called paper money, because the so-called paper money is not even really paper money. It's, as what they say, a promissory note or note. Now, when you look up the legal term for note, the word note means debt. So technically, the other synonymous term for the word note is security. So what they're doing is giving you securities, which is another name for bond. Another, you know what I'm saying? This is what they're giving you. So what you have in your pocket is nothing but debt securities or treasury notes or bonds, which is nothing but debt instruments and obligations for you to fulfill based upon what they're defining on how you should discharge or how you should legally tender any payments for tender. This is what they're defining. But the people don't seem to realize, Brother Tahaka, that you have to get gold, silver, platinum, any type of precious metal that's worth money in value. That's what you have to have in your possession. And the people got to learn that they can use that as an asset collateral, Brother Tahaka, where they can turn around and use that collateral to get some type of credit loan and then invest that loan to a residual income to pay off your debts, as opposed to going out there and work, laboring with your labor to be paying off a debt for an auto loan or for a mortgage loan or for a student loan. So these are the issues.
Are you there?
Yeah, you started to make a statement as Bob.
No, go ahead.
So the people got to realize, Brother Tahaka, what is money? What they think is money is not money, is a Federal Reserve note. And the program that you was playing, I was just listening to what they were stating about this inflation. And first of all, Brother Tahaka, Libor, L-I-B-O-R, is the London Interbank Offer Rate. It's the London Interbank Offer Rate. 11 o'clock London time, every a.m., they put out, like, the stock market. You know how they ring the bell and start the stock market over here in New York?
Yeah.
Well, in England, in London, at 11 o'clock a.m., they put out what the interest rate is going to be on the dollar. Because people don't seem to realize, brother, that the dollar is the instrument of international bill of exchange and is the dominant currency throughout the world, all right? But who controls the interest rates on the dollar is London. It's London. So they're controlling it. So they determine what the interest rate is going to be on the dollar based upon the commodity exchange. So as you stated before, going to the gas pump and taking that dollar out is going to be depending on what the value of that dollar is going to be to determine exactly what their value is going to be, but at the same time, it's more labor to get those same dollars. All right, Brother Tahaka? So the point is that if we get gold and silver and start using it as a collateral for credit, all right, and opening up ourselves an LLC, some type of company or some trust, and start investing the money into stock options or call options and getting residual income every month, we wouldn't even have to work for this quote-unquote money or working for wages. So we shouldn't even really be having these Europeans controlling services and labor, which is one of the contract clauses that's in the United States Constitution. And this is the reason why we caught up like this, Brother Tahaka. They did this on purpose, all right, because they want to keep our people in debt. Because, first of all, they had no intentions of putting any money in the hands of a so-called black woman, man, or child. All right? These people were not intended to do that. That whole issue was to disenfranchise us so we wouldn't have the money. I'm not concerned about any other ethnic group of people. I'm only concerned about our people because we're the one who's being disenfranchised, Brother Tahaka, because after being sanctioned in this country for under so-called slave labor, all right, for so many years, and now all of a sudden you've somewhat got some liberation of the 13th Amendment and citizenship of the 14th Amendment and voting rights under the 15th Amendment, these people wouldn't want you to have anything of value to take control over the economy. That's not going to happen. They'd rather bankrupt the system and give you fiat money to keep you working and laboring for something that doesn't really even exist, Brother Tahaka. And the only thing that exists really in life is your labor. And once they got you tied down daily, well, we had to work for that car and work for that house. If you notice, you're working for the rest of your life. A mortgage, 30 years? Come on, 30 years is a generation, Brother Tahaka. 30 years is a generation. That means you got to work a generation to pay off a house? The bank is not going to wait for no 30-year mortgage to pay off? Huh?
Let's take a look at the situation that we were in prior to what we would call commerce or the introduction to money. What do we have? We have our labor, we have our natural talents, our natural skills that we used and produced that other people thought was magnificent, thought they couldn't do without, and said, I have to create something to give this man in exchange for what he got. So we're talking about now a barter system that simply does not include any money. This is what we had before the introduction of money. Okay, but now when it came to gold and silver and precious metals, we had this in abundance. I never forget the account in John G. Jackson's Introduction to African Civilization, where the king of this African village, he set out a goal for himself. He said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to travel around the world and I'm going to, and back, and I'm going to give every group of people that I come in contact with some gold, and back. I'm going to take a different route coming back to make sure that everybody gets something. But when he got to Egypt, he had ran out of, got back. He got to Egypt and ran out of gold, so he commissioned the Africans that was occupying the thrones of Egypt. Let's get that straight. First of all, the Egyptians, or the people that you're calling Egyptians, were of African descent, not the people that's there now that are immigrants calling themselves Egyptians. These are not Egyptians. Okay, so when the brother got there, he got with the Pharaoh and said, look, man, I done ran out of gold, and this is what my goal was. And he said, man, this is a noble thing that you're doing. He said, what we're going to do is we're going to open up the treasuries to you and give you enough gold to go finish what you're trying to do. He said, if you do that, when I get back to my gold mines, I'll load up your men with enough gold and extra gold for you doing that for me so that I could just finish this one thing that I set out to do. So now we have a situation where we got this fiat, and this fiat is being labeled as money, and we've been led to believe that this is what we're supposed to have, money, 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 money. And the next thing they hatching is job, 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 job. In other words, all of it spells one word, servant and subserviency to the people. Prior to the turn of the century, 95% of the people on this landmass were self-employed. After the turn of the century, we got 95% of the people working for somebody else. So every president of the United States, every business leader, every politician, all say the same thing. We're trying to increase, make sure that people have more jobs. The American dollar is so-and-so and going here and all this right here, but we got to open up more jobs and make and get skilled labor. It's all designed to keep what we know of and what a lot of us call in the hood the BS going. Hold on, brother. Let me get another open up this line. Area code 404. Tell us who you are, where you calling from, what's your question or comment. 404.
Oh, yes. This you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. Come on in. Let me have it.
Oh, okay. This Pharisee moved to where? Out of the Cherokee County territory in Georgia. Yeah, I mean, I heard that dude say about the money thing and all that. He was saying gold and silver and the precious metal. Yeah, all that bagged the money. That's why the money is valuable. And all the natural resources, food, even the wood, like Home Depot. I mean, even the people who own these companies, Home Depot, they ain't paying for nothing. They cut down the trees, chopping it up, and putting it in the store, then selling it back to you. They chopping up nature and making you pay for nature. They ain't make the water or none of that, but they going to build a dam and control the water, then charge you for using the water. So that's basically what they doing. That's what makes the money valuable. You see, as long as they can control the seed, time, and harvest, the money going to always be worth something. You know what I'm saying? No matter what they say in Wall Street. As long as they controlling your gold, your silver, your oil, your petroleum, your rubber, making all this stuff from the natural resources and cars, making the cars from natural resources, as long as they control that, the money going to always be some. So they got, as long as they got nature on lock, they got your nature on lock. And to the people who say the money ain't worth nothing, you can give me your money and I'll show y'all what to do with it. If it ain't none of y'all can give it to me. And I show y'all what to do with it. You feel me? And I'm
out. What would you do with it if we gave it to you?
First of all, I'm gonna buy me some land, buy me some farming equipment, start growing my own food, build me a hotel. I'm gonna be like the five civilized tribes in the Black Wall Street. You feel what I'm saying? The Black Wall Street with the five civilized tribes. Yeah, that's how it's going to be. But I'm going to have my own dollar. They the one came up with that invention, the dollar bill, and they just took that and ran with it from the Black Wall Street. And
okay, well, let me ask you this. Now, I understand the Black Wall Street. I know a great deal about that. But now, let's say that you did get the Black Wall Street. How would you prevent what happened at Black Wall Street back then? What measures would you put in place to keep what happened back then from happening?
From that happening, like to what happened to why they burnt it down and all that.
Yeah, how would you stop them?
I have my military in place.
Okay, explain your military to me. Give me some details about it.
I'm a Native American Egyptian, right? And then I decided, you know, to hand out nationality cards for whoever, for the true descendant of the Native American Egyptian people, right? Okay, so I issued them out. What was that question again?
Okay, well, what I want to know is, last time what happened was Europeans came up in there and they started killing people. And the people that were doing the killing, these people was retired people from the military, and then they bought in planes. So I want to know how you going to do something different to stop it from happening again? What do you would you suggest having in place to make sure that it couldn't happen again, so that you can accomplish what you're trying to accomplish with the new Black Wall Street?
Oh, what would I do to prevent from my Wall Street from getting burnt to the ground like the first time? Okay,
yeah.
I'm gonna put my military in to protect my business. You see what I'm saying?
I tell you what. Hold on one second. Hold on one second, brother. Commit to you.
Okay.
Commit to you. You there?
Yes, no, I'm here.
Okay, help us out, man. We're finna protect the new Wall Street. Let's put it down, man.
Well, first of all, Noble, you would have to have what you call is mercenaries. All right? That's what you would have is mercenaries. But at the same time, when I hear what you're saying, Brother Fahaka, because you're going to have monies to pay for these mercenaries. All right, because you got to have some type of military protection for your business, because if you notice what Halliburton and all these big major corporations going up into people's lands and building up all kinds of oil, land, fields, mines, and also gold mines or diamond mines, there's not one corporation that's doing business on land that does not have some type of mercenary troops or armies, even from that government. You know, if they're in Zimbabwe or they're in some South Africa, they're actually going to the government and paying out contracts to hire military personnel to come in to protect their land. You know what I'm saying? And this is something that we've never had in our minds and never think that by these Europeans, you know, would come in and destroy what we have. And they've been doing this over and over again. So it was really foolish of the brothers in Wall Street area in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to allow outsiders to come in and to destroy their businesses like that. They should have known better, especially when you know that you came out of slavery and out of the condition that we have suffered. I mean, I still can't fathom how they can just go in and do business like everything is cool and copacetic, you know, but you're going to need mercenaries, brother. You're going to have to hire mercenaries.
Okay, well, I found out something a long time ago. Killers, real ones, are born, not appointed. They are born. And this is something that a lot of people don't understand. When you talk about creating something and having something, you're going to have something that was born. Now, one more line. Area code 704. 704.
It's long, Brother Tahaka. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fine, man. Let me have it.
I'm going to go back to the original topic at hand. This is why the Prophet Noble Drew Ali told the Moors that you must study the law. Mm-hmm. The Supreme Court said the ignorance of the law is no excuse. Now,
exactly.
The supreme law of the land, which stipulates in Article 1, Section 10, which stipulates it gives you a mandate of what is considered to be lawful currency. In that document, it says that gold and silver coin tender is the only lawful currency. Now, here's the thing. The United States Treasury Department has put a monkey wrench in the game because a lot of people were starting to wake up. This is why they commercialize the people. Not only do they take the money, which they constitute as the national banking holiday, June 5th, 1933, which is also found in House Joint Resolution 192. So when President Roosevelt issued three executive orders, when the people went to the banks, he sent the executive orders to all of the lending institutions and told them to seize the gold and silver coin because that's how we dealt with lawful money. So when you went in there, they in turn created Federal Reserve notes or fiat notes, took the gold and silver, and handed back to the people the greenbacks or the dollars, any denomination.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
during the commercialization process, also what they did, because you have to understand, these were masterminds. So they had a grand scheme that was already put in play years before it was already perfected in 1933. So what they did was they created the birth certificate. Now, everything goes back to your straw man. This is why the Prophet Nobujar Ali said, Moors, don't throw away your straw man. Don't throw away your slave name, because you're gonna be paid off in compounded interest. Because everything is intertwined in the government. When you're dealing with the monetary system, you have to get into the international monetary, the IMF, which is the International Monetary Fund, which is based in headquarters in California. Secondly, you have 12 major regions, and Washington, D.C. is the headquarters for all of them. When you're dealing with the Federal Reserve and you're dealing with the United States Treasury Department. If you notice, if you take your birth certificate, and this is the thing that when the Prophet passed on, when he transcended, this is what the Moors refused to disclose to the people. Yes, everything is based upon your labor. The brother mentioned something about the International Bill of Exchange. The purpose of the International Bill of Exchange was to make big purchases. That's why you draw your straw man up to $100 million. You open your direct treasury account, which is associated with your birth certificate, not the short form that most people have. You have to ascertain a copy of your long form birth certificate. If you flip it over on the back, it looks just like a blank check. There's two numbers on there. One is a document number, one is the certificate number. It's a lot of science in The Wizard of Oz. I recommend that everybody watch it and you study it, because all the characters have is symbolic to us as a people. Now, what they did was, the first character you had was the straw man. The straw man was symbolic of your name in all caps. That's why all documents that you receive from the government are in all caps. So, back to the birth certificate. The document number and the certificate number, one's in black, one's in red. If you notice on your Social Security card, this is what was meant when during the 14th Amendment, when they the All Naturalized Persons Act, based upon the language, because person, according to Black's law, signifies a corporation or a business. So what they did when they commercialized the people, they put them under a monetary fine. And based upon the creation of your birth certificate, it created a $1 million monetary value of each person that is actually born, every natural human being. And I'm talking about the Moors, because it was built around the Moors. So what they did was, if you notice on the front and on the back of your Social Security card, you'll see when you go for a job, they ask for your tax identification number, which was symbolic of the 10 man in The Wizard of Oz. That's your number with the two dashes. It's in black. But if you notice, they didn't give you the wisdom of what's on the back of the Social Security card. On the back of it is a letter with a series of numbers that's written in red. The purpose of that was because the letter is symbolic of what Federal Reserve Bank in the continental United States that it was created by. Now, when they created the birth certificate, like when you have a birth of any child, this is what they do. You go in there and you sign an adhesion contract, because it starts with the hospital. The hospital itself is a corporation. So when you sign that document from the hospital, they file one in the medical records department. They send another one over to the vital records, and they send a hard copy to the Department of Commerce. This, in turn, is what put us back in slavery. So what they did, on the back of it, again, the letter will guide you to the Federal Reserve Bank. The numbers are symbolic, because those numbers is on the red numbers is on your birth certificate, your live certificate of birth, and the back of your Social Security card with the letter helps you to actually open your DTC, which is your direct treasury account. I'm sorry, DTA. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever heard of 55 Water Street. 55 Water Street is one of the major holding companies for securities and bonds. This is where your birth certificate is also filed. It's in New York. This is, when you deal with the science of economics, this is what we have to deal with, because everybody's talking about money, 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 money. True indeed, we have to understand that we have to use the fiat currency to make small purchases. But say the brother's wanting to purchase land. Well, you use the International Bill of Exchange once you've opened your direct treasury account at the U.S. Treasury Department. When you do that, what you do is you draft the International Bill of Exchange for whatever dollar amount it may be, because we understand that everything is dealing with contracts. They issue adhesion contracts that do not benefit the people. They benefit the individual that actually created it. So you have to do the same thing. They also have another document that you must learn, the brothers and sisters must learn as well, which is dealing with the 22 silver dollars. It's a document that you draft based upon your straw man, because everything reverts back to the straw man that they actually created. This is why, I mean, it's fine to do business in your Moorish attribute, but at the same time, you have to understand how to engage in commerce with your straw man and your Moorish attribute as well, whichever you choose to decide. Because everything is in a, it's like a web, and everything is intertwined. When you're dealing with, like, your direct treasury account, you have a tax form, which is a 1040 ES, and you have four major quarters on it. So what you do is the accumulation of what you've actually purchased, only thing you do is you write in there your straw man, and you put the information on there, and you leave it blank. And then you submit that to the Treasury Department. And what they do is, I mean, I'm sorry, to the tax system, the IRS. Because what they're doing is, when you say in placing taxes on the people, the taxes don't do nothing but pay off the national debt, which is at $16 to $18 trillion right now. That's the purpose of the tax system. But the tax system is a friend of yours once you understand it, because you can use the tax system to always take your balance back to a zero balance. That's why these corporations are taxing the people. That's why the prophet also said, more is you're going to be taxed to death. And the reason being is because they are in business to do one thing, and that is to enslave the people. When you understand, it's like playing cards. You got the house man, and then you got all the other card players around the table. Well, all the other players around.
Let me ask you this right here. Let me ask you this. Well, give me a breakdown on the importance of House Joint Resolution 192.
House Joint Resolution 192 actually parallels with Article 1, Section 10, which says that all gold and silver coin tender is lawful money. So the thing about it is that when you understand that, now I'm going to go back to House Joint Resolution 192. The Magna Carta, which is actually called in layman terms right now the U.S. Constitution, we got to understand as Moors, that document wasn't brought here in 1215 for us. The document was brought here for them to establish their own government, because we helped them to establish what they actually currently have. The only difference is when we fell asleep, they took over the driver's seat. But the purpose of House Joint Resolution 192 gives you a breakdown based upon President Roosevelt's understanding, as well as his administration, his cabinet administration, to give you an understanding of what is deemed as lawful money. And the purpose being is because there's two types. You got to understand there's two sides. Most people operate from the public side. People that operate from, whether you're in business or anything, when you operate from the public side, you're operating from using fiat notes. When you operate from the private side, what you're doing is now you're dealing with the element of discharging debts. So that's why you have to understand also the duty accepted for value. So when you get a bill, because a bill is a contract from any corporation, anytime you get any letter in the mail for a demand of money from any individual, most of them don't deal with this type of science, because that's why they have lawyers to deal with this particular document. So when you get that document, you make a copy of it. And what you do is you get an accepted for value seal. This is once you've actually opened your direct treasury account. You place the accepted for value stamp on it. It's a red stamp. Stamp the document at a 45-degree angle. You fill in your exemption number. You fill in your Social Security number. Sign it, date it, and then you send it back to them. And what they're doing is, because the bill is, you have to understand, is an adhesion contract. between you and...
Well, let me ask you this. What is the difference between a bill that we receive in the mail and a statement that we receive in the mail?
What kind of statement?
A statement, light statement, light and water statement.
That's a bill.
Mortgage statement.
Those are bills. They're adhesion contracts, making a demand upon the people to pay a debt that doesn't actually exist. It does, but it doesn't, when you understand how the science of what the Moors brought dealing with economics. Only thing you would do is make a copy of it, keep a copy for your records. When you make the copy, you stamp it, accept it for value, and you discharge the debt. What you would do is you would send the bill back to the U.S. Treasury Department. The U.S. Treasury Department, in turn, would then render payment to the individuals, because the only thing they're doing is, what they're doing is they're taking these corporations are taking the interest off of your straw man per the IRS. That's all it's about. Because
let me ask you right here. Let's give a scenario. Let's say that I want to buy a riding lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
And I want to buy a buffer machine, and the total price is $1,500. I'm gonna pay cash. How I'm gonna go about doing that? How should I use that and make it a discharge? Explain that to me.
Well, you're saying the total price is $1,600 for the equipment that you want. I'm gonna give you a different scenario. I would use the International Bill of Exchange to purchase a home. Say the home is $200,000.
Well, let's go to not the home. We just want to go. All I want to do is I want to get a riding lawnmower to get my lawn cut, and I want this buffer machine because I'm gonna open up some little small business, and I want to get them, and I'm gonna give these people cash money in the store for that. I know I can't give them no education. I ain't got time for that. But at the same time, I want to put paper money in circulation, but at the same time, I want to discharge the situation and keep the equipment and follow the rules and regulations. What would I do to get that done?
To get the money back?
Well, if you're discharging the debt, I just need the formula, the system of how to go through that. We're gonna use a 45-degree angle that you mentioned to me, but how I'm gonna make this a reality?
Okay. You have to have the International Bill of Exchange. You're gonna have to take that document to the store manager for whatever the total cost of it is. You would in turn take the total amount, place it on the International Bill of Exchange, present the document to the store manager. The store manager in turn will take you in the back. He's going to have a meeting of the mind, so to speak. And then what he in turn will do, or she, they're going to submit that document to make sure that it's an authenticated document. They're going to forward that to their corporate office, to their attorneys. Now, you may not get the equipment right there on the spot. After the document has been processed, which more than likely is probably going to take 72 hours, which is 3 days, for them to process it, make a couple of phone calls, which they're going to actually end up calling the U.S. Treasury Department. And then you'll be able to get the equipment. But you're not going to get the equipment right there on the spot with the document, because most people, the only ones that deal with that type of document are the attorneys. But I'm saying for some
people,
if you're only going to make a $1,600 purchase, then what I would recommend is you pay for the, the equipment, and then when the quarter runs out, which is 3 months, you take the 1040 ES tax form, and you put the amount on that tax form, and they will send you the money back.
Okay, now, what if we went in there and we paid cash for it, and we requested a full printout receipt, and we called for the president of the company to sign this with his signature on it. And then we forwarded it with a cover letter to the Internal Revenue Service, clearly letting them know that it was our credit repay for it. Please forward on the affidavit. Please forward the cash back because we are discharging it then. What if we do it like that?
It makes good sense. Because the president. Because
Hold on a minute. Let me go to.
Mo, the pre-
Hold on. Let me open up the other line. Hold on. Eric Cole, 111. Come on in. Let us know what you, what's on your mind.
Hello?
111. I'm here.
111? Hello? Yes, this is Kwame. How are you?
I'm just fine. Tell me what's good. Let us have it.
Great, sir. I need to ask a question. The gentleman that was speaking about accepting for value and all of these different procedures that one could do to make this happen, has he executed that? How long has it been since he's been executed that? And also, if they don't accept it, what does one do then? Because I'm hearing that a lot of laws have been trying a lot of things, and of course, you know, getting into some issue, even jail for certain things that they've executed. So my thing is this, if he's saying this, I don't know, in theory or is actually something he's actually worked, then what's the template for and what is he referencing from whatever, however they have it set up to be able to confirm that this is so? That's my question.
All right, I'm going to mute your mic and, brother, I'm going to...
It's long, brother.
Okay.
Talking, man.
All right, but before you go now, we're gonna let you loose. But committee, you still there?
Yes, Noble. That brother who
called.
Excuse me.
Kevin's that? Come on.
No, I'm saying the brother who called in. That's one of the brothers who's in my class on Tuesday night, because his question is my question because. What Brother Quamel is talking about, Brother Zahaka, I have doubtful issues about a lot of processes that Moores is doing, and I'm with some very heavy hitters in my camp. All right, we got one brother in my class. He has an international banker's license, and plus he has his license for the Federal Reserve. So I'm hearing a lot of stuff that is just, you know, financial theory. You know, of what people have done, you know, with EFTs and accepted for value, you know what I'm saying, and even with the stamp duty, you know what I'm saying? So I heard quite a few, you know, theories that people are actually executing, but at the same time, we're facing an issue. And the issue that we are facing is either it's working for this more over here, but it may not be working for that more over there. Or this more did something and he turned around and did jail time for financial fraud, you know, under Title 18 of the United States Code. Because, you know, anytime you issue some financial false statements, you know, you can be cited for that. So,
Islam.
You know, just listening to Brother Quamel, and I'm looking for the response based upon what he stated because he's one of the brothers who's in my class on Tuesday. So we are very critical. We study financial jargon. We got financial dictionaries. We go to Investopedia. You know, we deal with, you know, stocks and bonds and securities. And we, you know, I just was in a conference last week with the American Bankers Association on trust administration and audits. So, again, you know, with the language I'm speaking, you're definitely in my field and my topic, but at the same time, Brother Zahaka, like Quamel said,
let me hit you back. I'm
you know, he has a question that I'd like to hear the answer to.
All right.
Come on, bro. Let's have it.
Islam, brother. There was a – I'm going to give you an example of the document that was actually submitted. I'm pretty sure some of you have actually heard of the Uniform Commercial Code. There's two sets. One is on the state level. One is on the federal level. And when you actually, when any bill that you actually receive, see, this is one of the problems that's actually arising because the U.S. Treasury Department, per the Secretary and his administration, a lot of brothers and sisters are actually submitting documents, you know, certified mail. And what's happening is they're not actually accepting the documents anymore because too many people are waking up. And when the brother was speaking on deflation and inflation, see, the more Moors that you have to wake up, which means that takes, you're looking at taking $15,000 to $25,000 out of their institutions, out of their system. So what happened, all right, this is a non-negotiable chargeback in accord with House HJR-192. This was done June the 7th of 2006. John Snow, Department of the Treasury, 1500 Pennsylvania Avenue, Northwest, Washington, D.C., 20220. Reason, chargeback of property taxes. Dear Secretary, enclose the documents, copies from my examination of my commercial agreements, which are listed on the enclosed accounting with receipts and other evidence that I have accepted for value with all related endorsements, front and back, to include in accord with UCC 3-419. The total amount of the non-negotiable chargeback enclosed is, and then what you would do is, this is after you've perfected your UCC-1 financing statement, which most people file it with the republic where you was actually conceived at, and then you have to submit another one in lieu with the original one that you actually filed at where you're actually conducting business at, whatever republic you currently domicile in. All right, so it would be UCC-1 number, and then you would put your number. Then underneath that, you would put bill number. That's in regards to, because a lot of people, this is the thing, the brother was saying, he mentioned in reference to buying property and business and things like that. Well, if your property is still included in the tax system over at the tax office, then your property is not a lowly or free. You're still caught up in the matrix, so to speak. And that's where I'm at right now. Amount, this particular amount was for $6,153.57. Discharge, $6,153.57. Balance goes back to zero. Please charge back to my Treasury Direct account, and then you would actually put your Treasury account number. It's going to be two letters with a series of numbers that follows it, and that's going to be underlined, or UCC contract account, for the same value, and charge my account for the fees necessary for real estate taxes, and command memory of account, and then the account number is actually going to be your tax identity, your Social Security number without the dashes, to charge the same to the debtor's order or your order. So to the brother that's actually in banking, because I have a book that it's 12 volumes. And in the book, it gives you an entire breakdown of the entire banking system, because the banking system, it only reverts back to the Crown of England. So, and then underneath that, you would put your particular attribute, employer ID, which is your same, your Social Security number without a dash, is trustee, but not individually. And then attached invoice number. Then you have to draft, at the top of it, you do the invoice number, non-negotiable bill of exchange in accord with HJR 192, posted registered account number. Then underneath that, you would put account number, which is your Social Security number without the dashes. Reason, notice of acceptance of dishonor, and notice of chargeback in accord with UCC 3-419 and HJR 192 and registered adjustment of account. Collateral and location of wherever the property is actually located at. The value of the bill, $6,153.57. Thank you for your refusal, commercial dishonor, which I accept for value, all related endorsements, front and back, to include those in accord with UCC 3419 as evidence with this bill of exchange. I have directed the chargeback of this bill of exchange to my Treasury Direct account number, which is your Social Security number, in the amount listed above, and is part of the tax estimate for use by the Republic. And the account is charged for the fees necessary for securing and registration for the priority exchange for the tax exemption to discharge the public liability in accord with House Joint Resolution 192 of my personal preferred stock unalienable rights. I have directed the command memory of account of the account number, Social Security number without the dashes, to charge the same to the debtor's order of the Secretary of the Treasury's order.
All right. Well, hold on a minute.
Hold on. Hold on, I got one more page.
Wait.
Oh.
I know we're gonna get to that. But we're gonna have to take a break.
All right, let me say one more thing, and that's it.
We can't.
All right.
We got.
All right.
I got to go by the rules, man.
All right,
I got a switchboard over here.
It's
hold
on,
that here. Put your finger on the place where you started. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Just hold on a minute.
Oh, well.
It's long, huh?
We'll be right back.
Here it goes, 704. Come on in and take your hand off it. Now you can let us have that last page. Come on in.
This is long, brother.
Let me have it.
All right, the brother was asking, you know, pretty much where the information was actually coming from.
Mm-hmm.
I was blessed by Allah to be in the presence of a brother who was actually a grand sheikh over a particular temple, Brother Jelani. And it's called, one of the information that he actually gave me is two of them. One is called Invisible Contracts, and it gives you an entire breakdown of the banking system and how it actually ties into the Crown of England. The other one is using the ATV, which is the Accepted for Value Stamp Chargeback and the Refusals. This particular one was a Moorish Civics Instructions class, and it was by two brothers. One was Noble Amir Mashug El, and the other one was Noble Sakima Ibn Salah El Bey. But the last document, it was saying that I, preamble citizen of the United States government, national of the United States, free inhabited, natural born citizen of the fee simple, absolute of the donor's body, tell estate of the dragon's tail, posterity, Lenape, known as we the people have rights, privileges, and immunities within the Constitution of the United States, Article 4, Section 2. Inter alia, hereby discharge the obligation that has been crafted in accordance to House Joint Resolution 192 and the Supreme Law of the Land, discharges obligation with said corporation, whom has no jurisdiction per my property. Any action to attempt to confiscate the property will result in federal, civil, and criminal action individually and officially against that person who concur to do such. It is my sincere belief that the instruments attached will suffice any other issues that may arise. And then attached to that you have the actual execution notice per the real estate. And on the chargeback, it's non-negotiable except for value, all related endorsement front and back in accord with House Joint Resolution 192 and UCC 3-419. Charge Treasury direct account, your number, your tax exemption number for the registration fees and command the memory of account number, your tax identification number, to charge the same to the debtor's order or your order. Notice this property is exempt from levy, posted registration number it's a number with two letters, and it has a series of numbers with the U.S. Postal Service. Then you have the date, the invoice number, the value, your signature, and employee identification number. That's attached to the actual bill instrument that the corporation created. Islam,
that's fantastic. Now, let me ask you something. Now, let's say, because what we deal with here is solutions. This is Moorish Summit 2. My guest has not arrived.
Yes, sir.
Okay, he hasn't arrived, so we got to do something different. Now, you read that off to me, and that's magnificent how you were able to do that. But what if, and I need a solution to what we're going to do about it, what if we do this and we send this out there to them and they got this in their hand, what do they say? Well, we don't care about that, we just going to do what we want to do. How are you going to enforce what you got going?
Well, before you can even submit that particular document in, your direct treasury account has to be opened. That's what I'm saying. Before you can actually discharge anything from the private sector or the private side, your account must be opened. You would actually do your, and this is the beauty of having the IRS work not against you but for you. You'd actually file the UCC-1 form. And again, most people do two filings, one where they're currently domiciled and one where the actual birth certificate is at. But what I would recommend is actually doing it at the National Registry Office, the UCC division in Washington, D.C., and that eliminates all the other ones. That's to open your certified trust account. Then you would send a letter signed in blue ink, certified return receipt. Staple the letter on the top of your 1040 ES tax form, filled out in all capital letters in blue ink as well. Then you would put that document filed with your, a copy of UCC-1 signed in blue ink on the page as well. Then you have to have a copy, you have to have a color copy of your loan form birth certificate and have the accepted for value on top of that. And that has to be in blue ink as well. And then what you would do is you compile those documents, make three copies of them, and then you would send that certified mail return receipt to the U.S. Treasury Department. And what they would do is, what they're supposed to do with it is actually open your direct treasury account. But again, some of the brothers that I ran into, they've been actually doing, a lot of people, because they've been having so much volume of this document or these documents being submitted to them, a lot of them are actually being rejected.
Mm-hmm. And these brothers are, that's doing this, they're attempting to do this as a Moorish document. How are they doing that?
This is just dealing with the commercial aspect associated with your straw man.
Mm-hmm.
But with, on, like on your UCC form, you have your debtor's name and then you have the creditor, which would actually be the real live you, which is called the sentient being. The other one, that's where you, the secured party creditor or your SPC.
Okay.
On your debtor, you would put your name in all caps.
Okay.
Because you have two places for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on 1 second. Let me open up another line and see what we got going here, and then we'll continue. Area code 202.
Hey, Pete family, this is brother Daoud here in Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that, you know, when it comes to this kind of information, I've yet to see anyone execute it and it being a positive manner. So, but I also want to speak in relation to the legacy treasury account.
Those have been,
from my understanding, those have been phased out. They're no longer available at this particular time. So, I mean, at this moment, I haven't seen anyone again execute or show any proof that that type of information is valid and usable. So, to the brother, you know, I'm not here to be negative, but just to state as a fact. Even in his dissertation, he hasn't identified any proof or evidence to be used. So, I mean, you know, you can read the paper, but without the actual proof, I mean, you know, it leaves us all in the position we started. So that's all I wanted to leave for the people listening to the brother providing information today.
Okay. Well, actually, what he's talking about is something that I've already done. And was successful at doing it, but me personally, once I do something, I move on to something else. They had the thing about the driver's license, and you didn't need a driver's license, you didn't need a registration or insurance on your vehicle. So I studied it, I got out on the pavement and executed it and bust them up with it. Now, What I deal with, me personally, I'm a pioneer. And I noticed that my brothers and sisters, you know, a lot of times they call me about different stuff that we talk about and that we are offering and stuff. And they were, do you know anybody else who had done it? And my training is, because I have a whole different brain in my skull. There ain't no channels on my TV, period.
Right.
You know, I don't, I got to. Well, women don't like me. They come here, yeah, no TV. All these books over, I ain't reading nothing. I want to see. But anyway, I think that we should become more involved into the research and securing the answers for ourselves. And once we get it clearly understood in our own brain without anybody previously doing it, and execute judgment on the earth, you'll be successful. Just like when they invented the automobile. Well, prior to the automobile being invented, nobody had ever seen one. Nevertheless, we got them. They, you know, now that we got the airplane to come along, and they led us to believe that the Wright brothers did this, that, and the other till they went and found out we had already been there and done that. But my point is this right here. The remedies and stuff, I don't want to hear nothing about a remedy unless it has a solution. But at the same time, you don't have to tell me for me to be convinced and do it that somebody else done did it. I'll research it for myself, gather the information, put it together, and execute judgment on the earth. I've been doing that all my life. I built my own gym. The popo come up in there and they say, "This is magnificent. Did you do this?" I said, "Yeah, I did it." He said, "What is this?" I said, "That's a gorilla machine." He said, "You mind if I try that?" I said, "You can try that." But I said, but first, you will need special instructions from the creator, which is me. And every last one of them that come over try to exercise the gorilla machine, all of them bigger than me, but they can't do it. They be shaking like a leaf on a log, pistol shaking, falling all out the pocket, and then I get up there and make it look like it float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Come on,
I
didn't need.
And I do understand that, but where the difference exists is that when you create a thing or a substance, yes, you create whatever it is to utilize it to get it to function properly. But we're talking about a construct that was created by a foreigner, someone else. So when you state that you engage in research, that means you identify whatever proofs you need to find in order to execute. So that's where I'm establishing the difference. So when you create the quote-unquote gorilla machine, that's your construct. So you determine what's functional, what's not functional. But when you're talking about a financial system that we as Moors had no part in creating as it exists today, then what you're going to research is the proof. So that's what I'm stating. For me to engage in something that I didn't create, yeah, there's a manual. So what I'm stating is if there's a manual that exists, make it available for me. So I can examine what I'm saying is as it relates to the Treasury direct account or the legacy Treasury account, those are no longer available. They've been phased out since October 2012. So how can you utilize that if it's not available at this time for anyone to create such an account? So that's where I'm going with that. That's what I'm go right ahead.
Okay. Well, we have another thing too that we can't forget.
Right.
What we are the most ingenious people on the planet. We Indeed. Have taken stuff that other people have created, turn
Indeed.
It around, and use it for our own advantage. You remember when they had the gas shortage, raising up right before Bush left out of office. He gutted everybody. He raised the price of gas so high. But what the brothers did down here is I was sitting out in front of my front yard. I seen a brother come by the house. He took a bicycle. He had to put a gas tank on it, put a motor on it, and he rode back. He wasn't paddling nothing. He created a motorcycle out of bicycles, but we have nothing on this planet can stop the black man. And so when you're talking about the contracts and stuff, I'm listening to the brother and talking about what he's doing. All we have to do is understand this right here. When it comes to the paper, we do something else above that. But right now, all we have to do is understand that the United States of America Corporation, I put it like this, the United Snakes of America does not interfere with your right to make contracts. So you can create your own contracts and enforce them based on what you know. You see, when I hear the word registration, license, and stuff like this, this is a red flag to me because I don't operate that way. When the brother was talking about Black Wall Street, and the questions that I was asking him, all these questions are designed for solutions to be tailor-made, created, and enforced. So, when you know, I be listening to the brothers coming in. I ain't going to tell them they're wrong, nothing like it right here, but I know what I'm dealing with. I know I boxed all my life. Every time I got in a ring, everything had to be tailor-made. It doesn't matter what nobody said about who was this or that, nothing. When you up in here and that man swinging at you, you're going to have to, everything you create is going to have one result. Get out of there alive, or else he's going to take you out. But, brother, I certainly appreciate you. You got another question?
Yeah. No, that's it, brother. I thank you always for your time, brother. You know, so peace to everybody on the line, and I'll lay back and listen.
All right, my brother. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm still waiting for our guest to come in. He has not arrived yet, but we are dealing with Morris Summit 2 so that we can get a clear understanding about what's going to be transpiring, what we're going to be talking about, what we are currently doing here now in the city. We have our own guards and stuff. We really want you to come down here. It's August the 16th through the 18th to see this thing with your own eyes and to hobnob with us. I get a chance to meet you. You get a chance to meet me, and we get a chance to meet each other and cohabit with each other right down in here. See, you know, I'll be 60 in July, and, you know, most people think that when you say Jacksonville, Florida, they say, oh, yeah, I know where that at. But see, to us, it's not Jacksonville, Florida. Anytime we would ever, back in the day when I was a young man, we meet young brothers coming in from other cities and stuff, man. We first thing we say, hey, man, welcome to the Bangham, because this is where we at down up in here. And they said, well, what that mean? And we like, take a wild guess. But anyway, we're going to go back and open up the lines again. And listen to the brothers. Brother, commit to you. You still there?
Yes, Noble Peace Family Islam.
You know what I want to know? I want to get back to the solution about the new Wall Street. Because, see, this is what we're doing here down here. We're taking neighborhoods and transforming them into communities. We're creating this thing. We are growing our own food. It's beautiful. We got support. We got a bodyguard right next door to the. He doing the do. And so we talking about our economic strength and power and substance in the event that the dollar collapse. The documents, House Joint Resolution 192, that no matter what collapse, how are we going to deal with the basics of life, food, air, and water? So that's where we at with that. And I got my brother, the other brother, his line is, I'm going to have to get back with him. But give me some information on that, man.
Well, you know, Brother Tahaka, you're so right on what you're stating, brother, because I have some economic wall street being put into a structure for our brothers and sisters, because Noble Jawali had said it best. He says, Moors, it takes finance to lift a nation. He says, Moors, finance and science means lifeline. So any monetary value that we can get our hands on at this particular moment while things are still available to us, one thing that I know that we got to do, Brother Tahaka, as the Prophet Noble Jawali say, is we are an industrious people. So the true value is not the paper money or even the gold or even the silver. That's not where the real value at. The value is in each and us and our labor and in our craft, because we are the ones who make value out of things or determine what things are valuable to us. Because when the gold collapsed and when the silver collapsed and when the paper money
and these people's financial institution collapse, we still got to eat. We still got to drink water. We still got to breathe air. So I'm 100% in agreement with you, brother, and I'm in a position to create a financial institution so that way we can be able to develop supply and demand with our own industrial hands, because farming is the key. I remember the Morris Summit. I didn't get a chance to make it down there, but I had somebody to go on my stay, and one of my main topics is farming. Because if we don't feed ourselves, brother, listen, everything else don't matter. You know what I'm saying? You may go without shelter for a certain period of time. You may even not even be able to have certain clothing without a certain period of time as far as purchasing it. But family, we all got to eat some food. But if you don't sustain yourself with some type of nourishment, housing and clothing or any other factors wouldn't even matter. So we got to feed ourselves, and that means we got to go back to the earth. We got to go back to agriculture, because the real key substance to this whole science is not this makeup artificial money system that the Europeans have used as to enslave and sanction us with. It's the agriculture. Because, Brother Tahaka, look what this devil had actually put into the Constitution. So how you know that this is true is our labor and our services to each other. That's the true money. That's the true goal. Listen what this devil did. When you read Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3 of the U.S. Constitution, this is what he put in here, the same document that Frederick Douglass had said that the United States Constitution is a pro-slavery document. But look what it says in Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3. No person held to service or labor, look at those two words, keep that in mind, in one state under the laws thereof, escaping into another, shall, in consequences of any law or regulation therein, be discharged from such service or labor, but shall be delivered up on claim of the party to whom such service or labor may be due. Now, Brother Tahaka, everybody's talking about discharging the car note, discharging the student loan, discharging the credit card, and discharging my mortgage. But what about discharging our services and labor from this wicked system that we're in? So agriculture is produced by the hand. The most valuable thing is not gold. It's not silver. To me, that's a way of taking it away from arguing about, oh, we got to stop with the fiat money and we got to get the gold. No, the gold is in your hand. The gold is in the craft and your skill in order to be able to take your knowledge and wisdom and take that earth and turn it over and make the things and out of it. Because, Baba Tahaka, what I used to say years ago, and I still say this today, and this is for those who are religious, and this is by no offense to anyone, but it's just the truth. Because the truth do not really offend, all right? It corrects and it reproves you. I used to say this to Brother Tahaka. No Muslim prayer, no Christian prayer, or no Jewish prayer, or Hindu prayer, or Buddhist prayer ever put the things that we see or enjoy here on this earth to this day. They took the man, his mind, his creativity, his wisdom, and his hand to produce everything you see here on this earth. And this is coming out of the earth, but it took man's mind and his hand to create that. The airplane, the car, the house you're in, the clothes that you're in, the sidewalk, the streets, anything you could possibly name today, it took the mind of a man and his hand to create the great things that we are enjoying today. And all those religious people couldn't tell you or me that they got on their hands and knees and prayed everything into existence. It took the mind of man and his labor and his skill to produce and manifest these things here, all right? It wasn't the so-called gold. It wasn't the silver. It wasn't the fiat money, all right? It was services and labor. And this is what needs to be discharged. They're telling you in the United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, that they don't want your services and labor to be discharged. This is the purpose of them bankrupting the system in 1933 on purpose with a plan, because they want to make sure that your services and your labor is controlled, because they know that's the most valuable resources on the planet. And Clinton signed this back in the time when he was in office, and what it was called, human capital.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should be focusing on, brother. That we are all being looked upon as a human resource. It's not the gold. It's not the silver. It's not the fiat money. You know what I'm saying? It's not about discharging this. And, brother, what about discharging your labor and your services so you can be free, true free? Just read it. Go back and read Article 4, Section 2, Clause 3, and read it.
Oh,
and they're
yeah.
telling you that, and they're telling you right then and there as an oath. They took an oath that your services and labor are not to be discharged. It's in perpetuity to be bound to these factors for as long as these people have this contract in existence. All right? So it takes the wisdom and the intelligence of our people to overcome any financial system or wall that they have set up over our services and our labor. We must control our services and labor, and Prophet Obadiah made it clear. We are an industrious people. That's where the key is at. The key, he says, more, the keys of civilizations is in your hand. That's what the prophet said. Nobody's looking at that, mm-hmm. Brother Tahaka. Nobody,
well,
I will never hear these more talking about. They could be talking about UCC-1 and discharge this and that. What about in your hands? What about producing the civilization that we once did as a great people from our hands, which we can do it again because we have the potentiality, because it's in our DNA, Brother Tahaka.
That's exactly what I was trying to tell the brother earlier. It doesn't matter what kind of contracts that we have. We are natural-born people. You can't see, we're under the impression, a lot of us, that kings and queens can be appointed. They can't. They have to be born. We cannot. It was never possible from the very foundation of the earth for a general or a king or a natural born warlord to be appointed. They are born. When you are born and you are destined to be the way that you are, that's what you do. I will never forget when I was a child, the little boy, a little cat corner across the street from me, he and I was outside playing. And he threw a rock, and a rock hit me in the head. And when he hit me in the head and just seen the blood coming out of my head, he struck out running, and he ran home to his grandmama's house. And he got in the house, and I went in the house, and I stood up in the screen door. And when my mama come to the door, she said, "Why are you standing up in the door like that?" And she grabbed me by the shoulder and spin me around, and the blood was coming out of my face. She said, "Who done that to you?" I didn't say anything, but I wanted her to leave me alone because I was watching the area and the man that had hit me in the head with a rock. So what she did was she left out the house and locked the house, locked us up in the house, and she went to my aunt's house and she called her brothers. And when them boys came, they come and went straight over there to that lady's house and got that boy out the house and put him in the car and took him away, and I never seen him again. And I overheard them, and they say you have to get him away from him. You had to get him away because when that boy come outside, Gene is going to come outside. You have to take him away from this area. Kings and queens are not appointed or made; they are born. Natural-born killers are the same way. So I ask the brother, when you have the Black Wall Street, how are you going to defend what you have? How are you going to protect what you have? Erico 706.
Islam, or Dalo Sakuna.
Islam,
my apologies. How you
hey,
doing?
That's okay, brother. I'm glad you're here, man. We roll in, and we got the switchboard lighting up. We've been making some good strides here, and I want to let everybody know that our guests have arrived, brother Dalo Sakuna, who was the first man that came to me with Summit of the Moors the first time. When he told me about this right here, I was like, ah, but then he talked to me and said, all right, well, we're going, well, yeah, we're going to do it. And we did it. And we're rolling. And so, brother, I want you to introduce yourself and give us a little background or bring us up to speed about what Moors, the Moors Summit 2, or Moors Summit 1 and Moors Summit 2 is all about, and what we got going with that, how do people stand to benefit it? Just let me have it.
Okay, well, the first summit we had was in January, around the time of Noble Draw Lee's birthday, and it's the base is always going to be working as an economic unit so that we can basically aggregate the Moors into a position of economic security and power. And by doing that, you know, we also will influence and be able to empower our youth as well as those people around us by spearheading certain movements. And August the 16th through the 18th will be the execution of some of the things that we said we wanted to start doing or implementing in January. But because of the power of the first one, we are far ahead of the game by starting with the urban farming, which has, you know, going into controlling our food source. If you just look at the bare essentials, food, clothing, and shelter, we don't control anything. And so this is just a small demonstration of demonstrations. One demonstration is a group of Moors from around the country putting their finances together to do something in one particular area. The other one is growing our own food, where we'll be able to not only feed, but be able to make some money off of it. Because farming is on the one aspect when it's on the land. The second aspect is what happened to it when it comes off the land. You have wholesale, you have retail, you have distribution, you have manufacturing, you have packaging. You have a few jobs that we can create by farming or controlling our food source. And so these are the things that we're demonstrating. Small, I like to start small. If you know, we work with each other, work the kinks out on a small level, then we can move on to the bigger things and the some other important issues that we have to deal with in our community. So August 16th through the 18th, it'll be at the Wyndham Hotel. The Summit of the Moors is always free. Nobody, there's nothing to pay other than, you know, getting here and wanting to be a part of something that's actually executing applicable, free, no pyramid schemes, none of that other kind of stuff, but just something where the people got to get together and work. We don't care if your name is L or Bay or whatever it is. If you see that there's an issue and we need to move forward, let's move forward. That's it, brother.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this right here, because at the Moors Summit 1, I spoke. Now, the Wyndham Hotel, when it comes to the people coming in there, what about the sustenance? What are they going to eat? How are we going to do that?
Well, we plan a nice, you know, we'll have something for at the hotel, something for them to snack on, but we'll probably have a feast over there next to the farm. We're going to have that laid out. We'll have you bring out the grill. I may bring my grill.
You must think I can cook or something.
that vegetable joint, I was eating on that for 2 days, man. I enjoyed that thoroughly.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Good.
All right. Well, okay.
Yeah, we
got ladies.
We have a few things, man. I don't want to give it all away. But we always take care of each other. Anybody that's been here for the summit and been coming and been in communication with us since January know how we act, how we take care of our people here in Florida.
Okay.
I can't use barriers because I'm not with some temples or some building or some piece of paperwork. I ain't with that. I'm not gonna let my people starve or get hurt or whatever needs to happen. If they need my help, I'm gonna help them regardless. I'm getting calls. Cass the other day calling me about where's the facility? He's naming names on the fly about each person, what they can do, what they can't do. But I said, brother, what's your question? You got a question about it. What's your question about the summit? I tell you what, you come and you bring what you bring to the table. That's what it's always been, bringing it to the table, creating a commission. Not all these people with these big-ass fake titles, man. At this point, I would tell anybody to abandon their leadership because they ain't did shit at this point.
Don't cuss us out about it. I'm just saying, man.
At this point, people need to know the power's always been with the people. It ain't been with no leadership. It's been with the people, but the people been running around like somebody stepped on the ant bed looking and wondering what they're going to do. But when you step on the ant bed, they'll organize. The military comes out, checks out the area, and the workers get back to work, close everything else, and business is still happening inside the colony.
There you go.
I like that. But anyway. Yeah. So
what I want to do is I would like to volunteer my services to participate in the cooking and preparing the food for the people and let them experience some real what I always call it when I do it let them eat some of that. So I'm gonna volunteer my service to do that. I'll bring the equipment over there and we'll get that done. But now my next question is in your opinion, what is the formula for people in America for survival? What do we need to just start band down and doing this in all 50 states when it comes to people of African descent?
Well, it's a few things. It's not just, I don't think it's just one thing because we have several issues. But I think we got to get beyond the survival thing and get into the state of living and producing. To me, that's what I call the God state. That's why I always thought it was so powerful. And I just realized this, you know, as we were working inside the farm, the Moore's Eastside Farm, people can't get out of religion. So I said, well, you know, they wrote a book about us. It's called Genesis. You know, God walking around in the garden, creating self-sustaining life. So the Moors need to get back on their throne and then controlling their food source. When you control your food source, no one can take that away from you. That's your right. The right to survive. Not only do you survive by creating for yourself, but you can sustain other lives, and you can progress by selling that food that you're creating for yourself. See what I'm saying? So you can get beyond just the survival aspect. The other thing is, at one point, one of the key major points for us to be able to be influential in the country that we live and to influence other continents is we got to get our money up, and we have to have it together. Dr. Claude Anderson, Amos Wilson, Noble Gerard Lee, Marcus Garvey, W.E. Du Bois, they've always talked about an independent economic system. We're so concerned about being into everyone else's business when we haven't been able to take care of our own business. See, those people of African descent in America, a lot of them was made right here. How do you know? Because they're now the third class in America behind a Hispanic community. The Hispanic community can come and bring their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, their grandsons, but the free slave, they can't bring anybody because they don't have any connection to the diaspora, the African, the Moorish diaspora around the planet, a melanin of the indigenous diaspora around the world. They're locked in. So right now, you had a third, you're behind the Hispanics who just took over maybe 5-10 years ago. So at some point, we have to become an economic powerhouse and be able to create our enclaves around the country, around the globe, create our international connections. We got to do business, and we got to do business that will secure not only our families, but our properties, and any other thing that we need to be secured about. And that's just, you know, business is based on relationships. Your relationship with whoever you're doing business with is basically going to tell you whether or not you can move forward or progress or kind of stay stagnant.
Okay.
One of the great things about the Morris Eastside Farm is it's quietly being a franchise. Because what we introduced at the summit was that we wanted to put at least one in each state. And we're getting that. Because of Facebook, somebody in France. I got an old friend in Zimbabwe, which is the only GMO, non-GMO country in Africa, or maybe the planet. They don't play that. So these are the things that we're looking at. So, Morris has to be, if you're going to be industrious, hardworking, diligent, you got to do it where you're at, locally. Because I don't like people claim to be leaders and that they're doing work, and when you go where they live at, they ain't doing nothing. Nobody's behind them because they ain't doing nothing where they're at. They're not being effective where they're at. But they want to jump in everybody else's shit. So to survive, we got to come together. I'm sorry about the curse. We got to come together, bring out.
I'm coming over there. I'm going to get you.
We have to create our common denominator collectively and do some things. Individually, you know, we have to do what we have to do to take care of our families. Collectively, I think, mm-hmm. you know, we all have to come together financially and create industries and control industries. This way, mm-hmm. you're talking about a wealth that can be passed down to your son, your granddaughters, and the babies. Not just something you got for while you're alive, but some inherited wealth and controlling resources. These are the things that we have to get into, not just buying into things, but being the buyer, but owning and controlling it. Well, we're now where we get to the point where we're not just the people that's just buying, but we're the ones that's also selling.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this right here. Now, I've been there. I done seen it. With my own eyes. I've been in your house. I've seen the monstrosity that you got going there, right there with PPC. But now, here are the questions that I have. When Morris Summit 2 happens, will it be possible for the brothers and sisters to come and see with their own eyes what you have done?
What, in my house? Oh, you're talking about the farm?
Yeah. Well, both places. What's off limit?
Ideally, man, we're definitely going to take a tour of the farm. Friday, I wanted the people who are members of the Morris Equity Group to come. You know, we're going to have a powwow at my house so we can continue on with the business. So those who are listening don't know, the thing that came out of some of the Moors was one is the Moors Equity Group, which is an LLC. The other one's Urban Geoponics, which is a nonprofit. And the LLC is not only almost like a an investment group, but it's also it has the potential, which it should be, which is the voice for Moors. Period. If there's an issue, then this is his voice that comes. That writes the letters to the press about the slander, the things that's going on in our community. Same way any Asian group has, any Jewish group has, the gays have it, Moors do not. And so I'm just simply introduced that as the voice, Moors Equity Group. And I wanted to purposely utilize the term equity because equity is across the board and deals with substantial rights versus legal and lawful rights.
Okay. Now, when it comes to the Morris Equity Group, is there anything else that you can give us about it, any more information that you can give us about it other than what you've already told us?
Well, you can go. We have a website, urbangeoponics.org, where you can see the updates, information about what we're doing on the farms. Summit of the Moors has a donation thing for those who want to donate and be a part of the Moors. And it's open to anybody. It's open to anybody. I introduced $6 a day for 180 days, which puts you at a certain amount, like $1,080, to go inside, the farming, not only the farming, but basically buying up one block at a time. Once we get enough money sitting in the bank, then we start buying up the commercial properties. We buy up the abandoned homes, these areas that everybody's given up and left. We come back in, and we take it over. We revitalize it, and we bring life where there was death, where there was nothing. That's what our job is. We uplifting humanity. So we go in where nobody else want to go in at, but we're bringing our dollars behind it. We're coming in as a group. We could do this all over the country, but we have to do it in one place first to work out all the kinks. And once you can work out all the kinks, then we move it on, just like any other business ventures, except our business is the business of uplifting humanity. And so it's nothing righteous about being a poor, righteous teacher. If you're intelligent, if you're conscious, whatever term you want to use, we should be intelligent enough to be able to make finances for everyone and still do the work that needs to be done in our community. So off the top of my head, it's what I can think of right now, brother, about the Moors Equity Group. Also within that, we talked about once you get into buying up the community, or one particular block or community, we mark it off as a territory, then there has to be some type of protection. Moors National Guard. Moors National Guard was sent to be a private ran security force that protects any neighborhood. Like when you go into a gated community, there's a guard. Same thing when you're coming out. We may be on feet or we may be behind. We may have up a gated community. Either way go, it'll be our people. We have we have enough information and intelligence, enough experience to have our own security force. And we would have some of these brothers at the Summit of the Moors showing demonstrations of our military. I'm sorry, private security force.
Okay. All right. Hold on one second, brother. I got a caller with his hand raised. I'm opening up to see what his question is. Okay. Area code 904, first three numbers, 318. Let me have it.
Hey, this is LJ, Consume Hotep L. Hey, I wanted to say one thing, Mr. Clark. I love your show. I think I'm blessed that you have had the show all the time, and it's great for us to have. But I want to know one thing. I mean, and this it irks me that I think it's black people, we got too lazy. That's our problem. We got too lazy. And we need to stop get off our butts and start working and start getting these things together and start implementing that and be leaders as ourselves and individually be leaders. And that's what I think that's our problem. I think we get too lazy.
Okay.
And that's my statement there.
Okay. Well, I certainly appreciate that. We're gonna answer that. I'll answer that for you right away. You're right. We got a lot of brothers that have misdirected priorities, and we have to understand that number one. And I said it earlier in the broadcast: food, air, and water. That's number one. No matter whatever else you do, you got to understand that is the bottom line. And then we have to understand not only ourselves, but we have to understand our people and how do our people go about doing things. Our people will do based on what they see. We're going to have to get past that and learn how to do regardless of what we see. I've been doing that for years, and anytime I see a man doing that, I'm quite proud of him. I had a brother that lived in an apartment, and I created a plant system on my apartment. It was the most beautiful thing that you ever could have seen. I would bring my plants and march them down the steps when I knew it was going to rain, just so I could water them because I had so much, and people ride through there. Are these for sale? And I said, no, this is not stuff. No, they ain't for sale. But the brother that lived across the street, I watched this brother build his house. I mean, this brother built his house from the ground up virtually by himself. The only time he had another man there with him, it was something that he couldn't build. He built all the blocks by himself. But when it came to pulling the truss up on top of the house, he had me in there. After they got through with that, it was over. You seen them no more. He went inside the house and built it. All the tile, all the bathroom, the fixtures, the bedroom, the walls, the painting, everything he did by himself. And when I went over to the scene, what he done, and I watched this man for over 7 years do this. And I said, brother, you have my respect. I said, you're a man, one of a kind. If I can get the rest of my people to understand what I have seen, in order to duplicate it, it'll be over in America. He told me, he said, I had to do that. I said, well, why you had to do it? He said, because I have 8 daughters. I said, say no more. And I can show you this house today. And when you see this house, you were like, it had to be a construction company to build this house or some mortgage company or whatever. No, I'm telling you what I know for a fact. I watched this man do this point blank by himself. Do this him. Erico 313, first three numbers, 412. Come on in.
Peace and love. This is Queen Nubia calling on behalf of the King. We are located in the Detroit area, Michigan area, Canton area as well. Very well traveled. I was basically calling in, listening to the King that was speaking about sovereignty and speaking about coming together as people of color. And I hear him mentioning the Moors. Well, first I would like to say, calling on behalf of the King, he has helped a lot of different individuals, teaching people basically about sovereignty, but about who they are as kings and queens. He's a well-renowned author of 11 books. That one of the books actually goes into sovereignty. If you have the opportunity of tuning in to the King, KD3TTT Blog Talk Radio, you'll be able to hear his message. I would like to share with the brothers not necessarily about being a Moor. You have to first understand who you are as a king and queen, and knowing who you are coming through the womb necessarily. And from that nationality, I understand that most people get into being a Moor, but there's a lot of brothers and sisters over here that are not able to represent themselves properly because they don't know the information is not given. And when we actually put ourselves back into the system as far as following anything or not understanding the law in itself from a biblical Quran or even just knowing rights, that's where we are falling short. Yes, it is about actually coming back together as communities, building back our black communities. Finances, far as money and all this and that other, we barter. We actually work together. And the first step is to actually get people out of our communities that don't belong there, that are not representing us properly, people that are not people of color, honestly. And how you do that is you have to come together. Erasing actually things out of your community on that aspect.
Okay. You want to address that, brother?
Oh, that was towards me?
Yeah.
Yes, I was addressing the King. Yes, I was speaking about your farm, the things that you're doing in Jacksonville, Florida, as well as come together on a financial level dealing with people of color.
Okay. All right, I heard you say something about sovereignty. I was like, I didn't mention anything about sovereignty. I thought that might have been somebody earlier. But, yeah, indeed.
Okay.
Just, well, we actually was on the phone with a brother. I've been on the phone a few this week with a few people. One is in the brother's from Detroit who lives in Atlanta. We're talking about setting up something in Detroit because we understand it's a lot of abandoned areas. We talked about, you know, getting some of those properties that they may be still having for $100 and putting some life inside of it. So I'd like to get your information if possible and get that going.
You definitely can get my information. Again, we're on the air daily. We travel different places all over the world. One, to get in contact with kings like yourself that's doing things in the community. We have actually started things where right now we are bringing together people within the city of Detroit and the Caribbean, certain parts of Africa, where there are communities. They're going in and representing themselves by speaking. That's the first step of claiming who you are as a people. You have to communicate. We have to stop allowing things to come into our communities. What we eat, homosexuality, how we treat our children, how our women are being represented, as well as how our kings are being represented. You know, there's a lot of people that speak about sovereignty that goes into being a Moor, that goes into being a form of in the form of spiritual different names, titles, labels, but you're not able to reach a person at that level of thinking if they can't deal with the simplistic thing. So I understand why you want to come together dealing with basic farming, why you want to come together and deal with just putting finances in people of color's pockets, because that releases the stress. But just things that I've learned being in the kingdom, sitting up under the King of Kings, the first step of being sovereignty, and the reason why I keep saying sovereignty because this is what I thought the title was about. And the first step of being sovereignty is just coming through the door, coming through the womb of the woman. That's the first step. And then realizing who you are as a king and a queen, and then manifesting that every day in your thinking. You don't have to be a Moor to do that. And what I feel is that the background of the Moors, being and studying with the Moors myself, as I'm speaking from experience, is getting people back into a system where they feel that they have to file papers and they have to do certain things to claim back their sovereignty. And all you have to do is just basically stand up and have to be, of course. The farming and building back the communities is how we're going to do it. So I would love to get your information and continue to verse with you because I think that kings like yourself, this is who the King of Kings go after. Speaking with you, dealing with you on this level, being, you know, going to Florida, being in Florida, going to other places, we need more people like yourself to speak and actually do something.
Okay. Well, now, sister, I'm going to open the brother line back up, and could you give us your contact information, and then we'll exchange that. Could you put that in the chat room, too, or do you want to just announce it over the air?
No, I'm not. Yeah, I would definitely announce it on the air. We want anyone, the King of Kings has created something global for people of color to come together and do something major within your own community that's across the board globally. So definitely I would love to give our information live on your radio show. Thank you for that offer.
Give us your contact information.
You can actually reach the King of Kings at www.blogtalkradio.kd3ttt. Once you go on there, you'll be able to see actually everything else. You can tune in daily, either between 8:30 and 9 o'clock p.m., 714-510-3744. Matter of fact, you can tune in this evening. If not this evening, check in. Continue to call in. Definitely. This is our information. If you would like to leave your contact information with us, you can leave it at the King's Royal Family at yahoo.com. That's the King's Royal Family at yahoo.com. Thank you. Thank you again for allowing me to share that information.
But wait a minute now. This time, I need you to give it to us again real slow. Go ahead.
Okay. www.blogtalkradio.com, KD3TTT. If you'd like to leave any messages, your contact information so we can contact you personally, you can leave that in the form of an email at the King's Royal Family at yahoo.com. The King's Royal Family at yahoo.com.
Okay, we got it. Just hold on 1 second, and I'm going to open up my brother line one more time.
All right.
Brother Diallo, could you give
us
your contact information?
Sure. Area code 706-284-9808. 706-284-9808. Let me say this about the atmosphere of the summit, which is twice a year. It is a very aggressive move in what we're doing. It is not for neophytes. I am not for a neophyte of information. You want to learn about nationality, you got to call somebody else. I put enough information and books out for that. At this point in junction in my life, it's about moving forward with applicable information, things that are tangible. I let the talkers talk. I do. Anybody that's with me, we do. So the summit isn't about coming and getting a nationality card and hearing some glory and ego stroking about what we used to do and all that stuff. It's about strategic planning. It's a business meeting. 3 days. And there's no arguments. It ain't none of that. It's about business. Moving our people forward. Controlling and owning. Two key words. Controlling and owning. No debating about what you think we should do. Do your own thing if it's not in tune with the summit and what, you know, the things that we have on the agenda. The agenda is always open for what people can bring and everything else, but it's not for people trying to find themselves. If you're coming to try to find yourself, that's not it. It's going to be people giving you indigenous information, that whole nine. But the whole summit is about owning and controlling resources and forced to work together as a unit internationally.
Okay. All right. Fantastic, my brother. I have another caller with his hand raised. Just hold on. Area code 704-622. First three numbers. Come on in. Let us have it.
Islam, brother. This is brother Israel Massar. Khalid Bey calling out of North Carolina Territory. I want to first rise and give honor to our holy and illustrious prophet, Noah Drew Ali, Allah, our father of the universe, and Moshe's Marcus Garvey, the forerunner of the prophet. I want to give honor to all those that honors do, and also to you, Brother Tahaka, for this fabulous topic dealing with economics. How are we going to survive in the days to come when it deals with water, when it deals with food and air, natural resources? I can recall Moshe's Marcus Garvey when he was saying Africa back to Africa. A lot of our brothers, I believe, misunderstood his philosophy. He wasn't so much, I believe, talking about going back to Africa in the physical sense, but more so in the spiritual sense, as going back to our natural resources when it comes to farming, when it comes to using the natural resources to secure us as a people. I can remember when I was yay high as a duck, going back to South, raised up in the North, when there was much farming going on. I overheard, and I like to camel back on the brother that was saying that the real resources or the real money is not so much to the monetary, funds that deals with the Federal Reserve notes, but it deals with our equity and our labor. I remember when there was farming going on where if my uncles or aunts would help others that was in the community.
We got a lot of background noise, brother. We can hardly hear you. Yep. Got a lot of background noise.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
I can remember when me going south and seeing how they was exchanging goods or services. They didn't exchange Federal Reserve notes. But my uncle will help out with fixing his neighbor's tractor or helping him plow his yard. In exchange, he would give him some of his crops, whether it would have been cucumbers or tomatoes or butter beans. They didn't exchange Federal Reserve notes. That was going back to the barter system, to where if I had a talent on how to help build an outhouse or build a storehouse, to where my grandmothers and grandfathers was able to keep the meats fresh, in return for doing that, they will give us some of their potatoes that they grew or their tomatoes. I think.
What did y'all give them in return? What did y'all give them in return?
In return, we will give them something that we have planted, okras or watermelon, or we may help them to slaughter some of their cows, you know, cut the meat up and put it up in the outhouse, you know.
Okay.
We was exchanging goods for services in that form, you know, and I think that was a good thing. And in this day and time where we know that the monetary funds or the Federal Reserve notes don't have any value at all, that has deflated tremendously in exchange for services for goods in the form of talents, I think it's coming back to that. You know, I think
okay.
that the barring system to where if I am very good in mechanical work, and if you have something wrong with your automobile, maybe need oil change or a radiator replaced, in the change of me doing that, you may have a service that you can provide for me. I might have, you know, electrical wiring problem in my house that where I might know nothing about electricity. And here you come over and can fix the problem with my outage in my house dealing with my electrical issue. Using the
barter
system.
Islam? Islamo. Well, you just gave us a clear description of the barter system, and we certainly appreciate you calling in and giving us that. And that's, you're absolutely correct. Self-sustenance is the and self-survival and stuff is the key here. Brother Diallo, I have another
yes, sir.
Question. And this is because I'm just going on what I've seen. You know about herbs.
Mm-hmm.
What could you tell us what herbs we should plant, and how can these herbs heal us and cure us of the illnesses and diseases that we could possibly have?
It's funny that you mentioned that today. We just was in Home Depot. I was building this other cabinet, but we pitched it up Home Depot. You see, the Home Depot, no, it's Lowe's. Lowe's has a very thick home herbal book. And cook, brew, and blend your own herbs. But you also can just, I like to refer to Dr. Laila Africa's book, African Holistic Health, when you deal with herbs. And what I have in my personal backyard, I have garlic, I got the green onions, I have thyme, I have basil, purple basil, I have echinacea, I have arugula. And this is actually the same thing we have on the farms. We're getting ready to put inside the hoop house, which is like a greenhouse, except it's in the shape of a hoop. We're going to put medicinal herbs inside of there because, you know, when you have your own farm or what people like trying to call it a community garden, you put in what you want to put in, the things that we need to be looking at. And so, matter of fact, that one herb that's in the front yard that you see all over the place, it has a yellow bud on it. It's called a dandelion. People call it a weed. But that dandelion is a blood and cleans the blood and it's great for the kidneys. If you clean it, you take the leaves, not the plant, but the leaves, you utilize it. There's a plant that we have called purple passion plant. It's an herb. You utilize the leaves. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful plant. But utilize that. We have mint, chocolate mint, regular mint as well. You got stuff like clovers, red clovers. These things that you see like sitting around across the street in the yard, we pluck them like leaves, they're herbs. For example, the mink thistle, the chickweed, all these herbs that you can utilize as teas that is great for the immune system. Or we also have sage out there as well. Hell, sage can take the gray out of your hair and make it back black from what I'm understanding. So I know a lot of people interested in that.
Say that again, because I got a lot of that.
Come on, brother, we're gonna try that. I just read that today, so I want to see. I want to research on that sage. But I don't claim to be an herbologist. It's a lot more brothers and sisters, a lot qualified than I. I like to study and research for my own personal thing. And then, get other people's input to see what else you think we need to add to the pot. But let me add this. I wanted to say this into what the sister and the brother was mentioning about bartering, the barter system. It's a beautiful thing inside of a society. But when we're trying to do business outside of that thing, you know, like, for example, you take those Europeans with the beards. What are they called? They don't use electricity.
I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of the name.
The Quakers, isn't it?
The Quakers, yeah. The Quakers may have, I don't even know what type of system they have, but I just want to use them for an example. They may have a barter system amongst themselves, but they make money outside of their area. They make a lot of money because they're very, very organized. I would love to be able to spend some time with people. And I do, when it comes to shooting videos and building websites, anything else outside of that, the other things that I may do, I just do it. I'm not looking for something in return other than if it's a situation where I need to be paid for my services. But we do have to work towards that system in a society. I think personally we should be looking at, we can broaden now, but if we have an area in which we live, then we can broaden, and then that whole community creates product, manufactures, everything else, and that helps sustain the community. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, yeah. But, we have inside the hoop house demonstrations of vertical growing. So we took a $5 rain gutter, which is all white plastic. It's 10 feet long. We put compost in it, and the top one has echinacea in it. The other one has arugula in it, and the other ones have spinach leaves in it. And those are just small rooted type of plants and herbs that to show that we can grow vertical. So we take advantage of a very small space. Oh, also, if you go to Facebook, we have an Urban Geoponics page that you can join. And inside of that, we share the pictures, people's stories. And eventually, I just want to take all this information and put a book together so we can have it, you know, because it's always about the information and education and empowering. Not so much motivation, but, you know, I don't want to think tank like my man Sun Dion said, we want to do tank. It's enough talking. I don't really focus so much. I've learned to change my conversation from what we're not doing and who's not here to here's what we're doing. Bottom line, I saved an hour of conversation by strictly focusing on the positive. Over 40 and been an activist, you should know what the problem is. The problem is we don't have enough solutions and drive to apply, you know, valid solutions. And so this is the summit is just one of them. It's not, I don't try to compare it to anything else. You know, just, you know, some stuff we need to do. And, you know, create an atmosphere where we can all come together, no matter what temple or king, queen, emperor, whatever you under or part of, and come together with everybody. And make some things happen for the collective.
Well, I tell you what I know for a fact, I was at Summit One, and we had brothers and sisters that came to this summit from all over the United States. I mean, New York, California, Miami. I mean, you, Atlanta. You name it. They were there, and they seen with their own eyes, and I'm pretty sure that and there's no doubt in my mind that they got something. But this summit that's coming up, number two, this is gonna be a gas for dinner, brother. Hold on a minute. Okay. We're gonna take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Okay, so y'all hold your hat.
love and goodness. And oh, I feel real proud.
Okay, brother Dello, we're back, and the time is winding down, but I have another question for you in regards to the Moorish Summit 2 that's coming up August the 16th through the 18th, and we will be hosting this thing right there in the Wyndham Hotel. Now, when it comes to the Moorish Summit 2, what is the most important thing that the brothers and sisters should be hoping to get out of this thing when they come there?
They should be hoping to get. You don't have to hope. You don't have to hope for this because this is going to happen. You should be coming looking for some resolve and some answers to progress our community as Moors. That's just the bottom line. The summit is based around progression. It's not based around meetings to have more meetings. But as soon as you leave that meeting, you should be able to, whatever it is that we talked about and agreed upon, we're going to apply. And that's just what happened in January. Well, we're still in contact with the majority of the people that were there that wanted to be a part of it. And it's going on right now in different phases. And that's the exact same thing that's going to happen in August. You come in August and it's probably going to be very big. So, you know, you're going to look to get more answers that you didn't think you was going to get and being a part of something. That's the main thing. Now, don't come just to hear certain people speak. Look to be a part of something that we come together collectively, not individually, not this guy, this girl who has their own little group, but these groups, heads and different heads of groups working as one unit. You know, people can still have the governments and the temples and all that stuff, but this right here is just strictly business. And we need people to register because, you know, we do have limited space, but just come anyway. You can register at summitofthemoors.com, and it's free. There's no cost for anything. I mean, there's no cost to get in or anything like that, but you just have to get here and get your own room. We do have very inexpensive rates for the Wyndham Hotel. I think about $69. The hotel is on the river, right across the bank from downtown. So we're in a prime location where we need to be, by the river, the St. John's River, that runs upward just like the Nile.
Oh, yeah. A lot of that don't know about the St. John River and the Nile running the same way. And I've been searching and scuffling and digging and digging and digging because I know the Nile and the St. John River got to be the same thing. It's got to, the earth is one land mass out of time. I'm going to find that thing, man, because I know
I
know it.
Here's another one. You take your map and you draw a straight line from Jacksonville, Florida, to the right, takes you right to Morocco, right to Africa. It's a direct line to Africa.
Hmm.
Sister that was a part of Marcus Garvey movement named Queen Mother Coffee was one of the first people to talk about how Jacksonville was so special. And it is. It's very special. Not only that, but Florida, too. I mean, these are the three currents that come here. They come to the east. It is the east coast, but if you call it the south part of America, and it goes to the Gulf. That's how the Moors are able to travel and be here before anyone was here.
Mm-hmm.
They came here.
That's right.
You're
absolutely correct.
Yeah. We're in a special place, man.
But I tell you what, we're moving down to the last 12 minutes, but you are absolutely correct. A lot of that I did find. What I want to do and what I'm attempting to do is I'm trying to reconstruct the landmass of the planet so I can actually see it and line it up just right. Because I already know we was already over here. We, 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 a mirror, what we had in Africa and what we have in America is like a mirror. We've always, and that's one of the biggest struggles and cover up in recorded their story to lead us to believe that somebody other than us are the original owners of the land and the Americas and everything else. But you know, that ain't gonna work. The jig is up. So
that's right.
What I'm going to do is I want to say that the Moorish Summit 2 will be held right here in Jacksonville, Florida, August the 2nd. August the 16th through the 18th. August 16th through the 18th, 2013, and we'll be at the Wyndham Hotel. I'm going to volunteer and do some cooking so I can show you this little special recipe. You guys get a chance to taste it from all over the country. You know, go ahead and mark your calendar now and arrange your priorities properly now so that you will have plenty of time to come here and see what we're doing, get a chance to meet us. We get a chance to meet you, and we'll get a chance to go over some things, and we want you to walk away from this thing with something that you can take back where you are. And what my biggest hope is that it is duplicated nationwide. It doesn't matter to me if you're in Washington State. If you're in Washington State, care to bang them with you. If you're in New York City, bring the Bangham with you. If you're in California, bring the Bangham with you. brother, I certainly appreciate you being on the broadcast. And tomorrow night, we're going to do this thing about these brothers catching these planes and getting up out of the United States and going down in Bolivia and Brazil and Central and South America. And marrying these women down there and having families and all that down there. We're going to deal with that tomorrow night. And so don't y'all miss this powerful broadcast. Just stay tuned, and we're going to put the advertisement up for that. And it'll be right here on Moorish Talk Live 100 at Blog Talk Radio. But, brother, I certainly appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely, man. I appreciate you again. Again, I want to apologize. I had a family issue. So,
that's all right.
The website, summitofthemoors.com, you can go in there right now. You can see the majority of the speakers from the summit. They're on there. I, myself, am on there as day two. You can hear Abundance Child. I think it's someone, Dr. Ali, Sister Daria Bay, and some more people. They're on there. And at this summit, we'll be having Brother Messiah L. We'll have Sundiata. We'll have Minister Inky. We have Dr. Ali Muhammad, my sister Bunny's Child, and some more things that be coming up down the pipe.
Okay.
So,
fantastic.
It's going to be a power. Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'm on that too. Y'all can see me.
And of course,
it was
an illusion. Of course.
Y'all go right there to the page, and what we're going to be doing. Now that we have done this broadcast, we're going to be putting it up all over everywhere because that's what I do. Y'all know how I do this here. We're going to, and all your groups and your Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and MySpace and Tumblr and the Drop Squad and all over there. This thing is going up there. But the main thing is to mark your calendar now and make sure that you are in the Bangham, excuse me, you're in Jacksonville, Florida, on August the 16th to the 18th. And so you can, we'll get a chance to meet each other. I look forward to meeting the brothers and sisters from across the country. And it is my pleasure. I'm getting older now. And next month I'll be 60. So y'all need to hurry up. You know what I mean, you know, down here. Because otherwise, y'all can I hear, and what, 20 years later, I came to meet Tanaka. Well, let's go to the cemetery. We'll show you right where he is. But anyway, my brother, I certainly appreciate you being on. And ladies and gentlemen, I thank you all for tuning in to Morris Talk Live 100, Summit of the Moors 2. And don't forget, tomorrow we're going to deal with this thing about these brothers catching these planes going down there and leaving the United States of America. So y'all tune in. Thank you, brother.
All right, peace.
All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I have been your host, Tahaga Amana L. Bay, and until next time.
Come on, you got to shake the bird.